Hey everybody, Stu Smith here going live. Hope you are well. I know it is Friday, so happy Friday. And I'm just doing a makeup show because I missed Monday due to a doctor's appointment. Nothing serious, just my normal checkup. If you're getting up there in your age, you should do regular checkups. I do mine every year. However, I hadn't done one. Missed a couple of years. Just not sure exactly why. Probably because of COVID. Just never went back. Never went to a doctor's office. Wasn't ever sick. Yeah, blood work, typical stuff. I try to set my new PRs now to blood work numbers. So, battling with myself from previous years on triglycerides and cholesterols and creatinine levels and all of those fun things. Not exactly as exciting as running your timed runs or timed swims or max pull-ups, but you got to do what you got to do. Stay healthy. This one is a little show here, but while you guys congregate, is going to be a little bit about a log PT simulation idea we came up with this week. So this is an unpublished workout. I did put it into the description of this video. You guys can check it out. But it is something I will definitely be adding to workouts very similar to the Sand Baby Devil Murph. If you're not familiar with that one, that's basically all of the Murph exercises, pull-ups, push-ups, squats, mixed with all the typical log PT exercises, which are overhead presses, overhead holds, chest carry lunges, shoulder carry squats, shoulder carry jogs, chest carry walks. So many different things you can add. Oh, chest carry sit-ups. All of those are great additions to your workouts whenever you are preparing for future challenges that will include log PT, which is really more of a teamwork drill, but it can really suck if you're not really sturdy enough to handle that kind of a load. And you can practice it with a 40-pound sandbag pretty simply. So here's the simulation, log simulation number one. On any upper body day that you do, add this for anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes. It's a 1 minute overhead hold with a 40-pound sandbag, and then a 1 minute chest carry hold and walk, alternating. How long can you go? I'd say if you can go for 20 minutes doing that, that is really good. You might want to start off at 10 minutes. So 1 minute overhead hold, 1 minute chest carry walk. That's it. You're going to feel that in your biceps, in your shoulders, triceps, a little bit in your core too, because when you're walking, you're going to feel that in your lower back a little bit with that weight up on your chest. But it's a good one. So shoot for anywhere between 10 to 20 minutes. The other one is more of a full body day where you're going to mix in an overhead squat. So you're doing a 1 minute press overhead hold, so isometric hold, with squats, deep squats thrown in there with your hands over your head. Just a really good exercise to do, regardless of what you're training to do. But you'll see that one again with log PT as well. Not often, but it's a good one to do just to get your body primed for that kind of load-bearing challenge. The other one is, so you do that for a minute, and then you do chest carry 1 minute walking lunges. So this is really leg focused on this one. And for a recovery set, you do a 1 minute shoulder carry walk shuffle type of thing. So if you got the conditioning, you can jog it, shuffle, step it a little bit, or you can just walk it. So that's a 3 1-minute circuit. So try to do that for anywhere from 15 to 21 minutes. So it's a 3-minute set, every set. So try to shoot for 5 rounds of that, get you 15 minutes. If you can do a little more, great. So anyway, that is our 2 new log PT simulators that we came up with this week. And you won't see them anywhere because we just created them. And I will probably be putting them into updated versions of programming. Right now, I'm in the middle of updating the Army Ranger Special Forces program, as well as the Recon MARSOC program. This one here for the MARSOC Marine Corps. And I just got through updating the Navy SEAL one. But we have a lot of the Sam Baby Murph in that one, too. So there's plenty of log PT simulator workouts in that. This is just one of those, what I would call a supplemental. Do your normal workout and just add 10 to 20 minutes of this sandbag drill, and you'll be able to kind of help prepare yourself for some of the challenges that you will see again. So anyway, that's my introductory discussion, and I'm happy to take some questions today. And let's see what we got here. Jackson has, have you ever dealt with tendonitis in the wrist during push-ups? Yeah. Not too much, though. I have to get a cortisone shot today because it's so bad. Damn. Been dealing with it for weeks. Huh. Well, I would probably then avoid doing push-ups with your wrist at that 90-degree angle the way it tends to get. So another option for you is do them on push-up bars where your wrists are actually straight and all the weight's right here, just like on a barbell. Like if you're bench pressing, you don't want your wrist to go like this. So if you notice, if you're bench pressing heavy and your wrists are like this, that's not good. You want your wrist to be like this, and you hold that weight here with your wrist almost straight up and down. Like it may be back a little bit, but you don't want it to be like this. Like if you have the weight right here by your fingers, that's just going to really torque on you. So if you're mixing in bench press with push-ups and you got that jacked up wrist like that, you're just asking for this type of injury. So try to keep your wrist a little straighter, use that thumb to hook under that barbell if you're doing it, and then whenever you do push-ups, put all the weight right here and use a dumbbell, like a hexagon dumbbell, so your wrists are closer to straight than back here at that almost 90-degree angle. That's my answer for you. That will probably help you tremendously, and you'll probably go back to be able to doing push-ups sooner, even though you have some tendonitis that's built up in there. See if that's it. Get a picture or video of you doing push-ups and bench press, overhead press, you know, anything where you're pushing weight like that. And if you've got that 90-degree bend in your wrist, that's a likely injury that what you're having is due to that. What would you say a good time for pyramid style? Pull-up times 1, push-ups times 2, squats times 3, up to 10, back down to 1, 25, 27 minutes. Sure, that's great. But you know what? I really don't time it, because I find that if I time it, I am just going to wind up doing crap reps. And I don't want to do a bunch of crap reps when I'm doing that workout. I prefer to get 100, 200, 300 really good repetitions. So, yes, have I timed it before? Sure. Have I gotten under 20 minutes before with pull-ups and push-ups times 2? Yes. Have I done it with sit-ups under 30? Yes. and squats too, under 30. So I just prefer not to, because I know what happens to me, and I'm pretty disciplined about my reps. I have a tendency to just crank out fast reps that aren't really that good. So let that be a lesson to you. Make sure you're doing good reps. But I'll be honest with you, I don't really care how fast it is. I would rather you go through it, minimal rest. If you choose to rest, make that an active rest, like a quarter mile run or a 2 minute bike. I think that is, you're going to get more out of it than worrying about if you do it in 22 minutes. I've been dealing with stress fractures for a while now, and I was wondering what you think I should do. Supplement running while I'm out. All non-impact cardio. That's all I can tell you. I mean, bike, row, swim, elliptical, stair stepper maybe. That tends to be a little less impactful. But yeah, a lot of lunges. In fact, we have a guy that has a little stress fracture going on right now too. And today, instead of running the beach, he lunged the beach and did bear crawls when his legs got tired. So that sucked. But he got a good workout out of it. So lunging, don't skip lunging on leg days. You could do a lot of lunging. And you could definitely avoid the impact. And when you start running again, do it progressively. Don't start off with 25 miles a week out of nowhere. I would also say try to find softer ground to run on when you do start running, whether that's sand on the beach, turf, around a track, a rubberized track, dirt roads versus pavement and concrete. And get good shoes, too, that fit you and that are going to absorb some shock. Happy Freedom Day, Freedom Friday, everybody. Oh, good job. Yeah, good job, Joe. Enjoy. So I know I kind of sprung this one on everybody, so there's not many people watching. I get it. It's not a normal time, or is it a normal day that we do this? So I may discuss something that I've been wanting to discuss anyway. This program right here, Phase 4. I see a lot of people buying phase one, phase two, and then getting phase four. And that's cool. I don't recommend jumping right into this one. I mean, this is probably the hardest thing I've ever created. It's just every day is almost is really a grind. It's as best as I could do simulating the first 4 or 5 weeks of a selection, meaning you wake up early, you go get wet and sandy, then you go for a run, then you eat breakfast, and then you go back out for another run. I mean, it is all over the place with training, but it gives you a good insight of what you're going to do in a day. So if you have a day and you can mix in three workouts in a day, that is a grind that can kind of give you an example of what it's going to do. Now, if you can, instead of in between workouts, going and taking a nice little nap and just stay moving, maybe do some yard work around the house or something, or work a few hours somewhere, that is going to be a little more realistic too, because you know your day at training is not all physical fitness. I mean, you're not just running and rucking and swimming and doing obstacle courses and PT and all the time. I mean, yes, you do all of those and you do those a lot, but there's a significant amount of time in between those events where you may just be taking care of boats, or an instructor walks by and drops you for 50 push-ups. You know, all of those things just occur throughout the day, but you're never really just standing still. And I think that is one of the biggest things to get used to for most people. So if you work out in the morning, go to work all day, it's a fairly manual, intensive labor type job. And then you go work out again. That's a good way to replicate how a long day feels. You'll go to sleep at the end of the day, tired, boom, wake up early and do it again. So that's what I tried to do with this program, make it a phase four. And it kind of evolved over the years where I added this Hell Week simulator. And we've been doing that Hell Week simulator here as well, where we'll do 3 hours or three workouts in a day. The first two are kind of back to back with a breakfast in the middle. And we'll eat that breakfast wet and cold. And guys are shaking. We did it in the spring this year after, you know, being wet and sandy on the beach every day. For the first couple of hours, and then we'd eat breakfast and everybody's shaking while they're eating breakfast. And that is just one of those events that I just remember so well, just shaking and eating at the same time and then doing whatever you could to get warm, like get a cup of coffee. I don't even drink coffee. And just put my hands around it just to kind of warm my hands. We were doing that with the MRE heaters, you know, just trying to warm each other's hands up with them, put them in your clothes and just warm up with them. They got a little too hot for that, but it was something that everybody was trying to do. It wound up being funny. Everybody was laughing about it, and it was a good experience. So. Anyway, give that a try if you want to really take your game to that next level. And I've recently linked my Shopify store, StuSmithFitness.com, to my YouTube channel. So if you're watching this, probably if you're watching it live, you won't see it. But whenever I repost this thing and tag those products, these products will be popping up. So I'm just going to tag this with one product, maybe a second one if you're trying to build up to that. That's phase one. If you're trying to build up to, you know, crush the PST first and then start training to get through the training by preparing for log PT and boats and other activities, longer runs and rucks and longer swims with fins. That's what these secondary books are for. First ones to get to the training with a PST. The others are to get through the training, just making you a little tougher. All right, so let's take some more questions. Morning, Stu. When doing abs with mask full of water. Oh, there's another fun one to do. Just speaking of making things tougher. Are there any tips on stopping the water from going in the back of your throat when counting reps? You know, I don't have any tips for you, to be honest with you. I try to keep my tongue on the top of my mouth, on the roof of my mouth when doing that. But when you do that, it's really hard to even talk. Like, I can't talk when I do that. So, and then when you swallow, it's probably going to go out. So, the best thing to do is just understand that nobody keeps water in their mask the whole time. It's going to be leaking. You're going to be drinking it through your nose. And that's part of the joy of having charged masks when you do things on the pool deck, whether that's treading water or it is laying on your back and doing flutter kicks. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you used to handling water going up your nose and not panicking. There is actually a reason why they do that, and that is it. When I count laps out loud, water goes up my nose, back of my throat. Yep, join a club. Me too. Makes it hard for me to sound off when I'm doing flutter kick scissors. Like I said, that is the joy of having a mask full of water and laying on your back. But you're doing the right thing. Keep practicing it, and you may find little techniques, like I said, like with the tongue on the roof of your mouth. You may be able to somehow close off that little area where the nose goes into the throat. I don't know how to verbally explain how to do that, to be honest with you. It is something that I have felt click before. Just like when you do a flip underwater and water doesn't go up your nose, very similar. So it's almost like you build up a little pressure inside your nose, like you're blowing out, but you don't blow out of your nose. It's very, like I said, it's, if I try to explain it to you verbally, I'm probably going to just confuse you even more. So best thing to do is just keep practicing it. And next thing you know, something clicks and it's not a bad situation anymore. Let's see. Got to send some questions. And smash that like button for me. This thing runs on likes and today on questions. So give me some questions. You know, a lot of people ask me too, what is your best-selling book? And many people think, you know, I wrote a SEAL book, but, and I have several of them, but I have over 40 different programs. And believe it or not, there are two that outperform, actually three that outperform the Navy SEAL ones. The first one is the FBI fitness test workout. This is a very popular test. More people do this test every year in the United States than any other fitness test probably in the world. You know, it's push-ups, sit-ups, 300-meter sprint, and a mile-and-a-half run. There are pull-ups in there. For some reason, they don't count them. But the DEA uses that, and probably 50% of the police departments are starting to go into that direction and use the same fitness test, mainly just because it's a legit fitness test. It has standing and it has decades of just proof that, you know, these standards will, one, screen out people who are incapable of making it through the training, but also say there is a level of fitness that if you can reach, you have this percent chance of making it through police academies, FBI academies, and things like that. And the other one is my Army Ranger SF book, which I do not have a copy of, it appears. Nope, I do not. I do not have a copy of that one, but I'm in the middle of updating it, so I'll get new copies here soon. And there's a third one. Oh, the Air Force Special Warfare one. That is the third one, and then the Navy SEAL programs are thereafter, and this one's number four, Navy SEAL PST Phase 1. So, yes. I have many, many programs, and those are my top four right there. Let's see. I also really enjoyed the 500-meter hypoxic swim for the PST Phase 1 book. Didn't think I could swim hypoxic freestyle for more than 100. Finishing it's a good feeling. Yeah, you know what? Those are really good. And I probably need to change the name of that hypoxic, because probably not hypoxic. You're probably just extra CO2, and you're not really hypoxic unless you're up at higher altitudes, but it is, you definitely are winded when you do that. And we tend to call it skip breathing now. So if you are doing that workout and you're doing every 5 strokes per breath, 7 strokes per breath, 9 strokes per breath using freestyle, I promise you, you will get winded. And we've been using that with our 50-50 workout as well. So you do 50 meters free, 50 meters CSS, do that for 10 to 15 sets, but you can make that a skip breathing 50 for the freestyle as well, make it even harder, and then try to catch your breath with the CSS. That's a really good 1-2 combo to, one, get in shape for swimming quicker, but also learn and practice the CSS while you are really tired. And it just hits home a little bit better, especially if you're really focusing on, you know, your pull, your breathe, your kick, your glide, and not just losing your technique because you're tired. But yeah, I'm glad you like that one. I love that one. In fact, every time when I'm kind of like really want to get in shape for something, like I'm going to do a PST, I always add those into it. And that I find it helps me both with the swim and the run conditioning. Have you ever worked with ultra runners going through buds? If so, do they have a better attrition rate than others? I've done a 50K, consider doing a 100 miler before going to buds. Well, here's the problem. With whatever your athletic history is, there is an equal and opposite weakness. So if you're really good at running, you probably suck at strength and you have no ability to do load bearing activities. If you're really good at strength, you probably suck at running, right? Or to a point where it's not something that you're good at very much. So I would say it is an issue with, yes, that's great if you want to run a 100 miler. There's really no need to it. It'd be the same thing. I'd tell the same thing to a guy who's trying to do a 600-pound deadlift. Really no need to it. And if you do powerlifting, that's great. I think that will help you tremendously with your ability to be a little more durable. But I will say this, you know, anytime I've seen 50 milers and 100 miler guys, I've always put the challenge out to them as this. All right, you go run 100 miles this weekend, okay? I'm going to keep doing my 25 miles a week for the next month. And let's see who runs more miles at the end of this month. Because here's what happens almost every time. The guy runs the 100 miler and he cannot run for the next 2 to 3 weeks. And if he's injured, probably next 4 to 6 weeks because he's nursing that injury. Whereas I have run 150 miles in that 6 week period, and he's just run 100 miles in that 6 week period. So what is better, right? You say you're doing it for the mental aspect. What is better, to push yourself to a point where you are now injured and can't train, or have that daily grind, waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning and running your 4 to 5 miles, even when you don't feel like it? You just rather be staying in bed, but nope, you get up anyway and you go do it, and it's raining and it's cold outside and you get up anyway and go do it. That's another scoop of mental toughness that a lot of people neglect to consider when they are training, right? Yeah. Are you going to see it at the 100 miler? Sure. You're going to be bored out of your mind, and you know, just keeping running is the big challenge, right? But you're running, you know, you're not comfortable at all. You're not having to get uncomfortable. So I kind of disagree with the whole mental aspect of it. You know how many people have made it through buds and never run 100 miles before in their life, or even a marathon, a whole bunch of them. I'm one of them. So, you know, you do you. You do whatever you think is best for you and your training. But, you know, if I were to have a ultra runner, I would say you probably need to slow your running down to like 20 miles a week and get in the weight room and learn how to swim, because you probably are not very strong, and chances are you probably don't know how to swim very well either, or tread. So that would be my generic answer to an ultra runner. I'm curious why Spotify only has your tactical fitness point 165 and up, not your earlier ones. I enjoy listening to them. Just wondering. You know what? I'm not sure either, but it probably has something to do with my Podomatic upload. You can find all of them on Podomatic. In fact, if you go to podomatic.com, you'll find all of the audios there, but I also put them all on this YouTube channel. So you can scroll through my YouTube channel, Tactical Fitness Report 1 to 230, whatever it's on now, and you'll find them all. Not quite sure why that is. Be honest with you, it's not something I make money off of anyway, so I'm not too worried about it. But they're out there, and they're out there in audio format. You just have to maybe find them on a different platform. Will swimming help my calisthenics? Yes. I'm going to say yes, it will. Because it's really an endurance thing. Calisthenics is a muscle stamina / muscle endurance combination. So, yes, I will say it will. Just a thought, Owen. Just a thought. It's my opinion. There are people out there with a completely opposite opinion as well. So, unfortunately, you are going to have to decide what is best for you. For me and my 205-pound body, not a chance. Not going to go run 100 miles for any reason. I don't know how you're doing those hypoxic swims. I completely gassed out after incorporating it over a few laps. All right, so here's my secret to the skip breathing swims. Is, let's say I have 8 strokes to do. So I will hold my breath for the first 4. So 1, 2, 3, 4 strokes, and then start exhaling. 5, 6, 7, 8. Turn to breathe. Or let's say I have 10. I'll do the same thing. Usually hold for 4 to 5. Start exhaling for the last 4 to 5. And get fully exhaled by the time I'm ready to turn to breathe. So try that and see what happens. I think where a lot of people screw that one up is, let's say they have a 10 stroke per breath set they're trying to do. They just start exhaling, you know, as soon as they start stroking. And next thing you know, you got no more carbon dioxide to let out of your lungs because you haven't been doing it slow enough. I also do another option where I will exhale the whole time, but it's only through my nose. I'm wearing goggles, so I'm just only through my nose. I'm just slowly exhaling the whole time. And that's not too bad, but when I really need to try to push it a little bit, I find holding my breath for the first half and then exhaling for the second half of those high sets works pretty well. Good questions. I've been swimming laps in the pool every day to get better. Is there anything else I can work on and change it up, but still increase my swimming? Have you ever heard of swim PT? All right, so think of it this way. I have a workout I do called the 50-50. It's 50 meter freestyle. It's 50 meter CSS. Or you could do breaststroke if you don't need to learn the CSS. it's kind of an easier stroke than freestyle. Freestyle is to get winded. CSS or breaststroke is really for technique and recovery. Then hop out, do 10 push-ups, 20 crunches, or whatever, plank pose, whatever you feel like you want to do. We have a pull-up bar on our pool deck, so we'll add pull-ups to that. So we'll do like 5 or 10 pull-ups, 10 to 20 push-ups, 10 to 20 crunches or ab exercises, flutter kicks, and then get back in the pool for the next set. So you hop out for about a minute and crank out those 3 exercises, and then hop back in, and you swim another 100 yards or 200 yards. It's up to you how much you want to swim break in between your sets. And that is a great way to get good at both swimming and calisthenics. And on leg days, you can hop out and do squats and lunges. Some places will lunge all the way around the pool before we jump in and do the next set. I'm getting headaches, which are focused in my neck and a bit in my forehead, right when I stop swimming after some distance. So I was wondering if you have any solution. My mask is not tight. I don't know, be honest with you. I mean, it could be the way you turn your head to breathe, maybe, is kinking something. So think of it this way. Instead of turning your head to breathe like 90 degrees like this, rotate your body. So even if you had like a neck brace on, like you had whiplash, you could still turn to breathe because you're turning your whole torso to breathe versus your neck and head. Just guessing. So you should be exhaling underwater. That's how you do it. And then when you turn your head, all you have to do is inhale. And, you know, it's something else I see when people are laying down like this. Let's say, okay, I'm horizontal. They swim like this, like with their neck kinked up like this the whole time. It's like, stop. You know, it's a side stroke. Relax your head, rotate, and turn to breathe. Don't kink up and swim like this the whole time. So that could be it, too. But I'm not going to be able to answer that unless I see you swimming. So like many people, they send me a video of them swimming 50 meters. I can definitely tell you if that's the problem or not. I find myself getting water in my nose and my sinuses when I come up for air doing the CSS. Is there a way I can keep that from happening? Just keep practicing. Probably what is happening is, maybe you're not out of the water enough, because when I turn to breathe on the CSS, I'm right here. Like, my face is still in the water. My bottom ear is still in the water, but my mouth and nose is out of the water. The only thing I could think of is maybe the timing of your stroke is screwed up to where you're recovering this arm out of the water, maybe. Or maybe you have a high elbow at the same time as you're inhaling, and all that water that you're bringing from that recovery is coming right in your face. I've seen that more with freestyle, not so much the CSS, but I have seen it with the CSS a few times. Once again, I can't really tell you that. I'm just guessing. Unless I see you swimming. So send me a video. Remind me of what's going wrong, so I'll be looking out for it, and I can tell you yes or no if that's the right issue. So it could be a timing issue on your recovery and your inhale. It could be you're not rotating enough to get your face out of the water. I don't know. All right. How are we looking? You guys got any more questions for me? I got time for maybe a few more. I got a 10 o'clock interview I'm doing. If I did miss your question, don't forget, email me, stu@stusmith.com. You can email me your videos there. You can also DM me. over on Instagram. But just make sure if there's something, an issue that you want me to observe, just remind me, because I won't remember your name or your issue when I see it, because I get many videos every week. Will live streams be normal next week? Yes, 9:30 Monday and Tuesday next week. They will be live Q&As Monday and Tuesday, 9:30. I don't have a TikTok or Instagram, so when I get a video of me swimming, could I put it in YouTube and send you a link? Absolutely. That's a great way to do it as well. A lot of people don't do that, but I can definitely do it that way. I can comment right there on your YouTube page. But you know what? Even though you don't have TikTok or Instagram, you can go to the website and not use the app on a computer, like your regular, probably not on your phone, but on a regular, like what I'm on right now, my desktop computer, is go to the website, like right here. Let me see, like this one right here. TikTok.com at StuSmith50. If you just type that into your URL HTTP area, it'll come up as the website, not the app, and you still have access to all the videos that I create over there. Probably can't send me a video, but you can at least watch the hundreds of videos that I have over there. Mikhail says, no static stretching isn't good prior to weightlifting. Is it the same with running? I put it this way. I love static stretching, but I don't do it until the end of a workout. Or I do my static stretching after a really good warm-up. So for me, it takes me about a mile when I'm running to warm up. And then after that mile, I will do some static stretching on mainly two muscle groups, my calves and my hamstring hip region. Those tend to get tighter than the others during that warm up. Then I'll stretch my thighs and be off on my way and won't do static stretches again until, you know, after the workout's done. Weightlifting, pretty much the same thing. I mean, I do a little bit of stretching like in between sets, but not a whole lot. I mean, it's just pure, really mobility stuff than it is, you know, like doing a real hard static stretch. But yeah, if you're going to stretch, for sure, do it after. But you can definitely mix in some dynamic stretching. You know, once you're warmed up, mix in a few static stretches. I find them to be very helpful, whether I'm lifting or running or swimming. So sometimes I'll swim a couple hundred yards and then make sure my, you know, lats are loose because my lats are pulling when I'm grabbing water. My triceps are tight when I'm pushing. So I usually get tight in my lats and my triceps when I swim freestyle. So loosen those up with some static stretches 5 minutes into a swim. How long are SO contracts, 4 or 6 years? You know what? Go to the SEALSWIC website. I'm sure they have that information over there. I think they're 6 years, but I don't think you, not sure how it works, to be honest with you. I've seen it 4 and I've seen it 6, and I'm not sure what the difference is. There used to be a difference where you could choose one or the other. Now, it may be one of those things that just to get an SO contract, because it's a year or more of training just to be an SO, that they may make you do a 6-year contract, but it may only be after you become an SO. Like if you don't become an SO, you're on a 4-year contract. I'm not sure how that works. I've seen it change a half a dozen times in 20 years. So my advice is go to where it is probably most current and make sure you read it on the Navy recruiting pages, sealswick.com website, because that is where you'll find probably the latest answers to the issue. Let's see. So here is another question I see. Do I have any quick fixes for plantar fasciitis? Read this article, Daniel. It's something I've had plantar fasciitis once or twice. Read that article. Yes, if you can't find it on SealSwick, not sure why. Should be up there. If it's not, maybe they should add it. But that is what I have heard too. It is 4 years with a 2 year add on after buds. So probably you get a bonus with that 2 year add on. You know, a lot of people have found enlistment bonuses in that process as well. All right. So there's my answers for today. I do need to go. I got a 10 o'clock. I got to get ready for. Guys, thanks for your time. Check out stewsmithfitness.com for sticking around this long. I appreciate it. There's a live 15 coupon code, says 15% books, ebooks. Just use that with your checkout over at stewsmithfitness.com. There's a lot of programs over there. Like I mentioned earlier, one might be perfect for you. And if not, I'm here to ask questions about those programs if you have them, whether it's on live or it's by email. I answer all my emails. So I will see you later. You guys have a good one.